Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Getting ready to sell their soul.
Father, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for everything. We look back on the last 10 years. We look back on the times that we've investigated and started to research things even many years before then. Some people going back into the 90s and even earlier. And Father, we just want to praise your holy name because there are so few of us that seem to have been blessed by the awakening that was necessary to bring us to the place that we are right now. And while we're not perfect, we need you more than ever before. We need your strength. We need your love. We need your guidance. We need your chastening. We need every part of you, Father. We need you to pour out just a huge golden vial of love into us so that we overflow that love, not only for you, Father, but also for all of the people of the world around us, that we would be able to live and to be exactly like Jesus, to the point that we would even be willing to carry our own cross to our own death to save the soul of just one more person. Everything out of love. And we thank you, Father, for revealing these things to the eyes of babes. Because, Father, I look back on even my own time, and I know there's so many others that have listened to the show, past, present, and possibly even future. And we've changed. Many of us have changed so dramatically, so vastly, that from where we were, even when we began to awaken. And we just praise you for the change, for the sanctification process. We haven't come to a place of perfection. We're holding on to the bus bumper, Father. Sometimes the road gets bumpy and we fall off and we let go of the bus bumper, but we cry out to Jesus and he just reaches down and picks us back up again. And we need you, Lord Jesus. We need you to help us to capture those troubling little foxes that try to breed our budding vineyard of love that you planted within us. We need you, Jesus, to be closer to us, that when we close our eyes, when we need to go into that quiet and deep blue sea of worldly forgetfulness and forgiveness, that we can see your face, that you are sitting there in a white robe in a green grassy field under a beautiful tree full of fruit in a gorgeous place known as heaven, that we'll be able to look into your eyes and be able to drift away from the things that are troubling us here on this earth, knowing that in the grand scheme of all of eternity, they are so utterly, utterly meaningless, but yet at the same time, so very, very important for the rewards that you have written in the books about each one of us, the works that we are to walk in before there was time. And it's so difficult sometimes, Father God, and you know that it is, and you have Jesus there beside you who has experienced it in the host body of a human. Awesome, awesome understanding that he can be our advocate, the mediator of the new covenant. And we thank you, Jesus, for always being there by our side, for always being there to speak as our advocate on behalf of us to the Father, and to continue to help us in our walks, drawing us in even closer to you, letting us spend more time in communion with you, helping us to be able to hear your still small voice. Oh, Father God, we want to hear your still small voice more than ever before. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that if there are any impurities in our thoughts, our heart, our walks, the things that we feel, the times that we slip up, the times that we have not shown enough self-control, Whatever it is that is a part of who we are still within us, we pray for a supernatural renewing of our mind. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will make us into the new wineskins that can hold the new wine. We pray that we understand that this is a continuous process and it requires effort for us to overcome on our part. We know what the scripture says. It says, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And it is a commandment for us to take the initiative and for us to capture those troubling little foxes and then turn to you, Lord Jesus, when we have hit rock bottom and we can't continue any longer. Or maybe we've just stumbled and fallen and we just need a little bit extra push. Father, we praise you for Isaiah 40:31. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we ask you, Father God, to renew each of our strength each and every day that we get up. We pray in Jesus' name that when we open our eyes, we will see it as a new day. In fact, even a new life in Christ, that we can touch somebody else through the changes that you have made manifest in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father God, that we may never grieve the Holy Spirit. And if there are any behaviors and things that we have in our lives that would cause our prayers to be hindered, no matter what it is, no matter how small it may be, we are asking you in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will reveal it to us so that it is just absolutely, completely clear that everything that we think, everything that we feel, everything, every time that we doubt, every time that we look at our life situation and we wonder, how in the world are we going to get through this situation? How are we going to make it to this next year? How are we going to get through the next month? How are we going to be able to pay the bills? How are we going to be able to fix the car? What are we going to do about our son and our daughter and the way that they're behaving right now? Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will take those fears away from us. You will take those worries and concerns away from us and help us to understand how deeply you love us and what a great, awesome Abba Father that you are for each of us. Help us to walk in that confidence. Not that we would forget to fear that you are the one who could send both our soul and body into hell, but that we would recognize that in a reverent fear and fall in love with you over and over again, realizing how incredibly awesome you are and how strong your intent is to ensure that we are brought to that place, that expected end, Jeremiah 29:11. And we thank you, Father, for loving us that much. We thank you, Father, for making decisions for us that sometimes completely befuddle us, making decisions for us whereby we do not understand why we are not getting certain prayers answered. And then sometimes, some short time later, or sometimes maybe years later, we look back and we say, oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you. I don't think that we will ever have enough time, even with eternity, to share the depth of the love that we have for you and to fall in love with you, Jesus, over and over and over and over again. The grace, the kindness, the mercy that you have shown us all by allowing us to be awakened to the days that we are in as early as we have been, to help us to prepare for the things that are going to come, maybe not in this moment in time, but certainly in this season, and that we would take full advantage of the opportunities that you have laid before us, constantly in a state of worship and awe, always knowing that we must expect a miracle, always knowing that if we don't receive the answer to our prayer in kind, that we will receive it in gold or silver or diamonds. But one way or the other, Father, you will come through for us because you are watching over us as your adopted children. We praise your holy name and we thank you. All we ask, Father, is that you draw us in closer. Draw us in closer and closer. Even if it is through additional suffering, even if it is through additional loneliness, even if it is through hardships that we do not understand, all we ask, Father, is that you bring us to that place of glory that you intended to bring us before there was time. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word, so you would know. The time I've come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave for coming down. Don't be called to sleep and blind. You don't want to be left behind. Come and be home. 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 Come and be holy.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was having a conversation a little bit earlier today, and I love these back and forths. I don't get to have them very often. A lot of times I get too busy with my day job and everything else under the sun blowing up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We just love it when things blow up. I mean, you barely get the glue to dry on the one thing that you fix before four other things break. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's like, I don't know. There's this thing I've been learning because, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm impetuous, as the Lord told me very clearly. I'm impetuous. And when you combine impetuous with, also being prone to, you know, somewhere in the book of Proverbs or Psalms, I forget which one it is, it says, you can do a word search on it, but it says anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. You know, and a lot of people default to saying, well, that's demonic, it's demonic. Not everything is demonic. Not everything. Almost everything, but not everything. But anyway, it runs in my family. You know, people that tend to think too much about stuff. That's why Jesus would tell us, you know, and we're not to worry. Don't think about the things of the future. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or the clothes you're going to eat. You know, what all that kind of stuff. Look at how beautiful the birds are, and the Father feeds them. That kind of stuff. You know, and basically that whole idea of living in day tight compartments. But, you know, I was reading. I'll share this with you. I just love this stuff. Every time I see like a witticism or something that is just to me, you know, really makes me say, hey, that's really cool. And I liked it so much I broke out my laminator, which, you know, dun 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 dun, right? But anyway, and I taped it onto my laptop. Listen to this. The worried person must lose himself, lose himself in action, lest he wither in despair. The worried or anxious person must lose themselves in action, staying busy with things, lest they will wither in despair. And that also goes along with that old saying, an idle mind is the devil's playground, right? Because you're sitting there, your multiple processor, you know, create T90 is spinning around in this processor, you're thinking about, oh, what about this and what about that? And then what if this happens and what if that happens? And then, oh my gosh. And you don't even know if your heart's going to keep beating, right? You don't even know if you're going to live the rest of the day. You don't even know if the Lord's going to Isaiah 57:1 you. You have no idea, right? But you're sitting there calculating this out and thinking about this, and oh my gosh, what if this is going to happen? And I, you know what? Anyway, I just thought I would share that little saying there because I thought to myself, how cool is that? So there's your little, impetuous tidbit for the night, is that, you know, when we find ourselves, you know, kind of, you know, reviewing all the things that we're going through and the challenges and why are we still here? Why are we still here on this alien demon infested planet? Okay. When you're going through that, you know, and I go through that, you know, probably once every two or three nanoseconds. You just got to kind of take a chill pill, go back into the NEFO state, and just keep yourself busy, keep yourself occupied. Even if it's just like with something that's kind of like, I like this. I think this is really cool to do is, with Olive Tree on my Android phone. I have, you know, I don't know, maybe half a dozen, maybe seven different, probably half a dozen, different, Bible, translations. And I discovered with the Olive Tree app, one of the things kind of cool about it is that as long as you select the actual verse number and you highlight the verse after you touch the verse number, that highlighted verse will actually highlight in every single translation of the Bible that you have in your Olive Tree application. So it goes from, so when you move from Bible to Bible to Bible to Bible to Bible, all your different, you know, highlights. And if you do like a scheme with your highlighting, well, the yellow ones are just, you know, FYIs, and the pink colored highlight are, you know, mysteries of the Bible, and the blue ones are, you know, or whatever. And you kind of, you know, make yourself like a little bit of a theme. It's really kind of cool. But anyway, I don't want to get too far off the track, but here's one of the things I was having a conversation with prior to the program. You know, we're constantly, you know, and it's not, you know, sometimes it's a disproportionate amount of time with like I spend, you know, a lot of time. I love to talk to Jeff Brierley because he's got some really good ideas, you know, but also other people as well. And I bounce things off of them, and we go back and forth behind the scenes to try to, well, we're kind of analyzing things, you know, when is this going to break? What is going on? You know, any one of us who are aware, and of course, a big part of that discussion always seems to swirl around back, you know, to this whole concept of the possibility of a barley harvest, grape harvest, and a wheat harvest, which would actually, the order would be barley, wheat, and grape. Okay, which would be a first watch, second watch, and third watch, which is reflective of the scriptures in Luke 12, verse 37, 38. Some people elect not to, no pun intended, elect not to accept it, and they just kind of write it off, whatever. But I will never do that. I will never do that because I've discovered over years and years and years of, you know, the Lord, you know, whacking me upside of the head with a frying pan over and over again, that I was wrong, you know, and then I got to eat lots of crow, right, you guys? Ow! See, and so, the, you know, your humility associated with your level of understanding is directly proportional to the amount of frying pans you've had over the head or the amount of crows that you've eaten. Okay, it's really just that simple. And when you meet somebody who's real strong-headed about something, they're like, no, this is what it is. I think that's wrong. This is, you know, da 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 da. And they're, you know, and they're very emphatic about their position statement. You know, it's because they haven't had enough of these. They need a couple more of these and a whole lot more of these. All right. Hey, I'm looking at you. Okay. That's right. Don't be acting all. I see that look in your eyes. Anyway, so but there's some cool things when, you know, when you do the iron sharpens iron thing, like the scripture says, you know, and you remember 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. And then you're humbled by Acts 17:11. The Bereans were more nobler than these. They searched the scriptures daily to see if it was so. You know, how many times do any of us even have the time to sit down and rifle and search and do word studies and deep dive into the scripture? And if you're somebody that's that blessed, man, you should be in tears for at least an hour crying out in worship to God that you have such a life that you are allowed that amount of freedom to be able to sit down and spend some serious time in the Word and really do some deep dive study. I admit, though, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to come away with a proper understanding. I have actually met some folks that I know very, very well that do spend a lot of time in the Scripture, but they miss a lot of stuff. Some of them even still believe in once saved, always saved. And I'm like, how in the world can you read the New Testament? I mean, even one time and come away thinking that. I mean, how do you ignore 1 Peter 4:18? If a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? Why don't we – these are things that should just make our insides go – you know, we should just like a lightning bolt going right through us. And there's so many other scriptures as well. But anyway, praise God. One of the things we were talking about, because as we were bouncing, you know, this idea and that idea, a couple of the topics that we touched upon was we touched upon the what's going on over in, you know, the Middle East. Okay, because we know the Middle East is a hotbed. Now, there are some other experts and, you know, political war, you know, college type pundits out there that believe that North Korea is going to be the turning point and the, if you will, the thing that jettisons the world into World War III, which, by the way, very well may be true. We just don't know for sure, because you cannot assume, like, for example, if you study the Sarah Manet vision of 1979, you cannot assume that just because the first thing she saw was a missile, a nuclear tipped missile being launched from Libya into Israel as being the first major event to cause the nuclear bombs to start going off, the ground-based nukes in the United States, as well as a few air-to-air nuclear missiles over in, EMEA. We can't assume that that's just because that's what she saw as being the first event, that that was indeed the only. You know, there could have been other things that the Lord did not show her from her perspective. Okay, that's why there's always that wiggle room, that delta, where you're just not really exactly sure. You can make yourself a list, but you can't always be sure exactly which one or which groups or whatnot might happen first, second, third, fourth, that kind of thing, unless the Bible calls them out. If the Bible says first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, then we know those numbers are there for a reason. God's not trying to trick us, and he's not trying to take basic mathematics and make us all turn into preterists and rearrange everything. Okay, that is that's not why. Okay, it's because they're in order, and God's telling us what order they are in. All right, now all that being said, though, the two big things that we were talking about as we were kicking around this idea of, like, what are we still doing here and why? Okay, is what's going on over in the Middle East as it compares, if you will, to the stuff that Wesley Clark said. I think it was, I don't know, so I think somebody said it was, like, he actually was on that television program in 2007, but he was talking about meeting with these advisors, these really high-level ranking officials in the White House as far back as like 2002, right after 9/11. That's where you search on Wesley Clark, 7 countries in 5 years on Google, and you can listen to it. I play it on the radio on this show all the time. All right, just as kind of like a reminder that we understand and remember in the forefront of our mind that there is an agenda that the forces of darkness, albeit not on schedule, but that they rarely are on schedule, because guess what? See, they actually think that Lucifer, the light bearer, is the real God, and that Adonai is just a big pest. He's a big, goofy pest. And that's what they actually believe. That they switch everything around, and they tell their followers when they get indoctrinated at the high enough levels that what the Bible really means is this. And you got to switch this person with that person, and this thought with that thought, and this, and then you see the real truth, and now you're part of the secret mysteries and all that kind of stuff. And really, it's they turn everything upside down. Isaiah 29. They're liars. But anyway, that being said, but unfortunately, a lot of them don't know any better, which is kind of sad. But anyway, so you look at the Middle East dynamic that is occurring right now. You combine that with the Wesley Clark admission, associated with the master plan, and Iran's right there in the middle of it. You got John Bolton, who had nothing to do with the Trump presidency and was later probably by one of those, secret knocks, the secret Masonic knocks, somebody in a dark, smoky room probably told Trump, you need to bring Bolton on. And because, the ones that are the most evil and powerful are never the ones that are in the forefront. They're the ones that are in the background. The most evil and dangerous ones, the shapeshifters in a lot of cases, okay, they're in the background. They operate the marionette strings. They don't want to be in the foreground, okay? And that's how, the whole Committee of 300, if you want to refer to them as that, that's how it works. The John Birch Society, the Rhodes Roundtable, all these people that supposedly can shake $1 trillion out of their left pocket without even thinking twice about it. Okay, but anyway, so you look at the things that are happening, you add it all up, and you look at the Middle East dynamics that are occurring, you look at the timeline and the fact that even Bolton himself mentioned 2019, specifically overtly said 2019, okay, in front of a huge seminar of people that he was speaking. There had to be at least 3,000-4,000 people in the room, maybe more. Could have been more like 10,000, I'm not sure. But anyway, but when you combine that, and you look at the fact that Robert McNamara came forward, sometime in the 1980s, and he came out and openly admitted that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was, you know, a false flag. And then you do some studies on the history of false flags, which is actually pretty easy to do if you go out on the internet and search on it. You start to scratch your head and you're going like, you know, they see themselves as behind schedule, which they are, because that wasn't their original schedule. We know that God is holding everything under control until he that restrains is taken out of the way, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, which I'm going to get to in a second. I'm going to tie that in. All right, praise Jesus. But when you look at all of these things, you also take note of the possibility. Again, the possibility. I'm not going to be dogmatic about any of this. All right, I'm just presenting things to think about. All right, the possibility of a multi-phased rescue mission, three individual rescue missions: barley, wheat, and grape. Okay, then at first watch, second watch, third watch. And I, for those of you who haven't heard this story, I'll keep it very brief. I was praying about this fervently a couple of years ago. It was one of those times when I had tears coming out of my eyes, and I was really, really, you know, leaning into the Father. And I looked up from I was sitting at my desk here in the Golden JIB Studios in lovely Tampa, Florida. Come and visit us sometime if you want to bake like a bun that's burning in the oven and get rained on every 15 minutes. But anyway, and I look up from my tears. I'm totally not embellishing this. Okay. This is exactly how it happened. I look up from my tears. I know I am one of those, like, lack of a better term, I am super paranoid about losing things like car keys, wallets. Every pocket has to have a zipper or Velcro. If it doesn't, I'll actually put my own Velcro on them. Like, even blue jeans and things, I put Velcro on them to make sure that there's no way I can lose anything. I'm real paranoid. I check every time I get up off of a chair. I do an inventory of everything that's in my pocket to make sure it's all there. Okay. Yep. Okay. There it is. That kind of thing. All right. So. For me to even have my car keys out of my pocket at all is a big deal. It makes me freak out. Okay. I just go like, you know, there they are. They're sitting on my desk. I can't have that. What are they doing on my desk? And the only time I will typically ever leave my car keys, for example, out on the, it'll have to be directly in front of me in a direct line of sight within an arm's reach, no further away ever. And then, and there will be a very, very specific reason why I would have them out of my pocket at all, and preferably in a pocket that has a zipper on it. I found these really cool shorts on Amazon. I love these things. They have zippers on all the pockets and a zipper pocket in the back for the wallet. I'm like, that is my kind of pair of shorts. Hallelujah. But anyway, I bought a bunch of them. I got like six pairs. I was like, yay. But so I'm sitting here and I'm in tears, and I know why the keys were there. The only reason I ever take them out and put them on my desk is when I'm taking one of those USB stick fobs, you know, the memory stick fobs, and I'm you know, copying data and that kind of a thing. Okay. And so I obviously took, you know, was in the process of doing that at some point earlier in that day, and I was in prayer. I had the key sitting within an arm's reach of, you know, right in front of me, like about a foot away from my face. And I lift my head up from prayer, and staring me right in the eyes, I mean, literally, you have to understand, there's a lot of things on my keychain. I mean, there's probably, I can't even tell you, I've got multiple USB sticks. I've got, there's got to be at least 30 things hanging from my keychain. Not to mention that there's a little leather pouch and I have some, you know, lots that I use to cast lots with. I have, you know, Proverbs 16:33 is in laminated scripture. I carry that with me, a little vial of holy oil, all this stuff. I carry it with me everywhere I go so I can talk to the Lord and cast lots if I need to and get an answer. But anyway, I'm like, I look up, and with all these things on this keychain, the odds of the positioning of the keychain that this would actually have happened the way that it did had to be like one in like a bazillion. I don't even know how many, because there's just too much junk on the keychain. There's just too much stuff. And so I'm looking at the tears are still coming down from my eyes, and I look right at the keychain, and I'm like, oh, wow. And I really start crying, because I am staring at a key on my keychain that is facing directly at me, okay, not slightly tilted to the left, 45 degrees to the right, that I had to move it or wiggle it or try to read it or turn my head. No. I mean the words written on that key were pointing directly at my eyes. It was one of those Jonathan Kleck, you know, panda moments where it's like, you know, the Lord's talking to you because you're seeing that billboard. It's the answer to the prayer that you've been praying. And, you know, and you know, it's God talking to you. And I'm like, and it said on the key, two words, first watch. Now, it was about 7 or 8 years prior to that, moment that I had written the article Multi-Phased Rescue Mission. That was back in like April of 2011 or maybe even before that. Okay. And that was because I was studying Luke 12:37 and I was hunting for mysteries in the Bible and I found a mystery and Jesus said he's coming back from, you know, the wedding and he, you know, blessed are they that are on the second watch and, you know, I'll take you back and sup with you and blessed are they that are on the third watch. I'll take you back and sup with you and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, if there's a second watch and there's a third watch, well, there's got to be a first watch. That's called, you know, implied biblical interpretation, which oftentimes reveals more mysteries than you will ever get from explicit biblical interpretation, which, by the way, the church never does. All right. Now, anyway, so I'm looking right at these words, first watch, and everything just came flooding back into my memory. And I was like, Lord, you know, I felt, you know, that the Lord was letting me know that I was going to be on the first watch. And I felt that he was talking to me directly. He was, you know, making me feel good and kind of give me a little pat, maybe a hug. But there was more to it than that in the fact that all the coincidences that lined up with the event in the first place. Now it gets even better. Turns out that key. Now I have one of those things that you put on the top of your car. Now, and my neighbors all think I'm a raving lunatic. You know, I walked around the cul-de-sac with my, Jesus is coming business cards and, you know, all the prophetic events that should have happened back in 2016 until, you know, the calling of the audible occurred with Trump. As far as I'm concerned, maybe, who knows, maybe it is biblical. I don't know. I still think there was an audible called. But anyway, as a matter of fact, based upon Glenda Jackson's prophetic word, there was an audible call. There absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt was in fact an audible called where God said, okay, I'm going to allow this next thing to happen, this next series of events to happen for whatever reason. All right. According to Glenda Jackson's prophecy, it was because, you know, enough people in the church prayed. Okay. And it's not up to us to pass judgment on that. We don't know. We don't count. We don't see. We have no idea. There's thousands and thousands, 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 and thousands and tens of thousands of thousands of churches all over the place. And we got no idea. Okay, simple as that. If you say that you do, well, you don't. You're wrong. I'm sorry. And I don't call people wrong very often, but I'm just saying in this particular case, you don't know. Only God knows. God knows the number of hairs, the sands on the beach. We don't know. All right, praise God. But obviously, we're where we are today for a reason. Now, all that being said, so you reflect back on the things that are happening in the Middle East. We see this notion, okay, and that's all it is. It's a notion. I think it's a Gulf of Tonkin. It's clearly a type of a Gulf of Tonkin incident, okay, where you got these, you know, tankers over oil, right, naturally, and Saudi Arabia is all up in arms. We got to do something about this. We got to do something because, you know, you have to have a coalition. You got to have, you know, can't be those mean Americans picking on the Arabs and all that kind of stuff. It has to be, you know, it's got to be, everybody's got to be all for one and one for all and all that kind of, you know, and so it's all part of the choreographed game that's associated with starting World War III. Ultimately, I think it'll lead to the Gog and Magog invasion, and things are going to go, rapid fire succession. Things are going to collapse. It is going to be hell on earth really, really fast. We just don't know what the big red lever event is. We don't know when God's going to pull the big red lever. We don't know, if you want to use Byerly's term, kickoff event. We don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. And look, Trump could go into a whole nother term. It's not going to make me especially happy, but I am being prudent in the sense that I paid close attention to that prophecy from Sister Glenda Lomax at, you know, Just Praise Him, Wings of Prophecy, where the Lord admonished us to be advised that the times that are coming upon us are going to be pretty dag-nabbit awful. And we're not going to be so happy about it when we're going through them. And I took that to heart because, you know, you always kind of think that you're kind of like ready-ish, sort of, right? I mean, at least I do. Sometimes I think I do. You know, I get my emergency essentials, you know, 5-gallon buckets that can go through like 3 nuclear wars and the beans are still good inside and all that kind of weirdness. And you stack them up inside the garage and put them up and put up big gorilla shells and, you know, you get extra gas for your generator and, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, you make sure you're getting I think what the Lord said through Glenda was right. I don't think any of us quite get it. And I also think there's a very good possibility that we might not realize just how close we are. Particularly, now see, if the first watch, second watch, third watch paradigm is just, I don't know, in the Bible for no good reason. You know, Jesus just stuck it in there just to go, nana boo boo, nana boo boo. Try to figure it out. Nah, you can't. Nah, nah, nah. You know, I don't think that's why he's there. It's the glory of God to concealeth a matter. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. God expects us to be good Bereans, and he expects us to ask the hard questions. He wants us to be that curious. He wants us to come up with sanctified deductions, possibilities, bounce things off one another, wonder what this could be, what that could be. Why, you know, all the Bible says that we're going to meet him in the air. But it's left out all the details. And we have tons of visions and dreams and prophecies and stuff that are supportive of all kinds of things. So if you think really hard about it, if the only rescue mission event was a singular event and it happened after the 3 days of darkness, then you know what? Then we could pretty much just look at the Bible and say, okay, first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal. Well, sixth seal is when the 3 days of darkness happens, when the sun turns black as sackcloth of hair. That's your 3 days of darkness. But what's interesting is that you don't have anything in Revelation 6, 12 through 17 that indicates there's a rapture in there. There's nothing there. But you have all these people saying that the Lord showed them this in a vision or the Lord showed them that in a vision. And then you can line up multiple sources. You want to have as many confirmations as you can get from as many different believers as you can get. Hopefully prior to 2016, when the seducing spirits were unleashed on mankind like a rush of locusts, pun intended. But there's nothing there. There's nothing in Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The only thing we have there that indicates that we're not on the earth, that the bride of Jesus Christ is not on the earth anymore, is the fact that Revelation 6, 17 says, and the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says, we were not appointed wrath. Right? And we know that, again, to repeat, for good reason, when we know that Revelation 18 happens prior to then, because 18:23 says, and the bride and the bridegroom will be heard in her no more. Where? Who? Well, the bride and the bridegroom will not be in America anymore. Well, we already know that if there was an all-out, full-scale, thermonuclear attack on the United States of America, there would still be millions of people in this country alive, survivors. And to take that number of people and say there wouldn't be one person that was part of the bride of Jesus Christ in that group would be absolutely ridiculous. It defies any common sense whatsoever. Therefore, Revelation 18:23 is literal, and when it says the bride and the bridegroom will be heard in her no more, it is a statement that says at the point of time that Russia uses their submarine-launched nuclear missiles to level this country from sea to shining sea, the bride is gone. And we know the bride is gone before Revelation 6, 17, because the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand. And you see that little dealy where the sky rolls up, you know, the sky rolls up like a scroll. Have you ever looked at a nuclear bomb? I used to be really fascinated because I grew up like 3 miles away from Three Mile Island. I was actually in the evacuation zone. I kid you not. I was working at Lombardo's at Locust Court as a busboy wearing a little golden jacket with a black bow tie when that whole thing was going on at Three Mile Island, and everybody was freaking out, and they had news reporters from all over the world filled that restaurant. It was people were nervous, and then I don't really remember quite this level of detail. What I do remember is that I did decide to leave the town. I did decide, I was driving at that time. I was probably about 17, years old, and I jumped in my car, and I had a friend that lived up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, or nearby there, and I went up to visit him. His name was Steve. And when I got to his house, just to pass the time away, Steve and myself, and I believe it was his dad, who was a Methodist pastor, we all decided to go to the movies together, and we did. And the name of the movie that we decided to go see was called The China Syndrome. I kid you not. So I am evacuated from Three Mile Island. I'm with my friend Steve Crawford and his dad. We go to the local movie theater to see The China Syndrome. And in the middle of that movie, the one scientist is asked, what would happen if the core of the nuclear plant melted down? And the exact answer out of the man's mouth, I mean, not word for word, but, you know, close enough, was if the core of the nuclear reactor melts into the ground, into the water table, it will kill everything in the area of approximately the size of the state of Pennsylvania. If you don't believe me, go back and watch a movie, rent it. It's right in there. Also, look when the movie was released in the theaters and match it up to Three Mile Island. And you'll know I'm telling you the truth. That entire theater went, oh! I mean, you could literally see the heads of the people flipping backwards in their chairs. The shock, that those words were actually in that whole deal. Was that some sort of a practice session? What was going on with Three Mile Island anyway? Why were they running those tests? What was that doing in that movie at the time? Are those all just coincidences? So again, getting back to these, Saudi Arabia, they're screaming bloody murder. Do something about this. Somebody's got to do something about this. Somebody's got to do something. We know it was Iran. You guys said it was Iran. They even came out today with another report that the United States Navy has confirmed that it was, a mine that caused these, that, and it was Iranian and Iran and this, that, and the other thing. So they're building up. The whole the 2019 version of the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Okay, they're building it up. Now, where it's going to lead, we don't know yet. But we certainly do know what their master plan is, because that's been spoken of by, Wesley Clark and a whole bunch of other people over the years. So anybody who's been paying any attention knows what the master plan is. How far they're going to get with it, we don't know. Now, so that's a very interesting tidbit to tuck away as far as remaining at the ready right now as we see these things progressing around about us, because any of these things could trigger the skirmish, which ultimately leads to the Gog and Magog invasion and the whole deal with the two tactical nuclear missiles launched from beneath Israeli Air Force jets into the Iranian Fordow Mountain facility. Okay, which, believe you me, if that happens, that will definitely cause massive launchings and retaliation on a nuclear level. That'll definitely make Israel stand up to, the burdensome stone for sure. Now, all that being said, what else is very interesting we were talking about behind the scenes is 2 Thessalonians 2 has a couple of key things in it. Now, I brought up multiple times, thank you, Jesus, I brought up multiple times the fact that, see, I don't like to throw anything away. A lot of people they seem to be inclined to toss the baby out with the bathwater. They just, that person didn't hear from the Lord right. Or that person didn't hear from, I don't believe that. They wave their hands and just like, that person's wrong. That person's wrong. I don't believe that. That's not what the Lord told me. Somehow, they're special amidst all 7.3 billion people on the earth. I don't get that. So I take a completely opposite approach. My approach is, I'm assuming that probably the answer is going to be D, all of the above. That we're all going to be surprised and well, for those of us who said things we shouldn't have said, we're going to be sad that we said them. Now, you know, and how that's all going to pan out, we don't know, because our works will be tested by fire, what sort they are, what quality they are, and we will either receive a demerit or a reward. Now, but when you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, you basically see that there's a falling away. Now, some people think that there's falling away already occurring right now. They equate the falling away with this concept that, well, churchianity is apostate anyhow, so that basically equates with a falling away, you know, and Trumpianity, well, you know, that adds insult to injury, so that equates with a falling away. But again, that's a little myopic, really, because that state of the I don't want to say state of the union, but the state of churchianity on a global level has been in that condition now for decade after decade after decade after decade. It didn't start happening or become any more pervasive because of Donald Trump. Okay, the state of churchianity and its impotence and the itchy ears teaching of, you know, doctrine that shouldn't be taught has been around for decades and decades and decades. The 80s and the 90s and you name it, it's been around. Okay, so I find it a little bit difficult to just say that all of a sudden because we happen to be awake that okay, well, there's a falling away because we know something they don't know, so they're falling away and we're not. That doesn't work for me very well. I still think the falling away is caused by the strong delusion. I think it ties a ribbon on it. Okay, because wouldn't the quintessential test of all tests, and the Lord God tests the righteous, okay, and that's just kind of how it works. It says in Psalm 51 that that the Lord may be found just when he speaks and righteous when he judges. Okay, all right, you got it? So that's why God sends a strong delusion, because there's going to come a point in time where some people, whether they're standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ or heaven forbid, the second death, you know, the white throne, great white throne judgment. But at some point, they're going to get, you know, they're going to get reconciled. Their works are going to be tested by fire, what sort they are. And they're going to, you know, have to hear why, you know, they are being positioned wherever it is they're being positioned. We'll just leave it at that. All right. Now, that being said, what surprised me, but this was revealed through, you know, I kind of got the impression, because I kind of believed, you know, but God rest his soul, I loved him so much, Patrick Caron. When we had Patrick Caron on the show, I really thought his analysis of the falling away actually lining up with Berenger's work was possibly correct. And that the falling away was misinterpreted, that the words were misinterpreted, you know, at the Greek level. And he went even deeper into it. And his theory was that falling away was actually the evacuation mission or the actual rapture itself. So Heron took the position that the rapture occurred at the beginning of 2 Thessalonians 2. However, we already know at this point that is inaccurate, and that's okay. That iron sharpens iron, right? We got to throw out our ideas on the table and see, you know, how we figure stuff out. That's how we figure things out. Praise God. All right. So anyway, so you have to ask yourself the question: what was the whole deal with Paul in the second letter to Thessalonica? Okay, the whole deal with that was that these guys were just like, well, they were like us. They were versions of us. They were like, you know, we're going to leave any second now. We're going to leave any second. They had busybodies going around. They quit their jobs. They were, you know, eating other people's food. You know, the Lord will take care of me. You know, but Jesus is coming back any moment now. And Paul had to, like, you know, put the kibosh on that whole deal and set people straight. So Paul comes out and he says, hey. You know, and I'm totally just, you know, giving you, you know, kind of like the paraphrased street version of this. But Paul basically comes out in that letter and he says, hey, guys, chill out. Chill out, will you? We are not leaving this planet. Jesus is not coming for us until these things happen. And he was pretty doggone emphatic about it. You can tell in the tone when you're reading that letter that he was really leaning in on it. He meant business. He was setting them straight. And then he even goes on in chapter 3 and says, and if you don't work, you don't eat. No food for you. That's a pretty strong statement coming from an apostle that is visiting a church. you know, in other communities. Think about it. He's in other people's homes. He's in other people's communities. He's hanging out with them. He is a guest. He's looking right at him and saying, dude, you don't work. You don't eat. Now, when you go back and you look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and you think about it, at a high level, Paul essentially is saying, until these things that I'm about to tell you about happen, we're stuck on this alien demon-infested rock. Simple as that. Like it or lump it. So stop counting your calendar days and stop looking at your Hebrew, your Hebrew, holidays and everything, and all this other stuff. Because until these things happen right here, you're not going anywhere. Tough bananas. See, we need to get that stuck into our head. It's really important because the funny thing about it is until you get that really embedded, engraved into your head, you don't have a compass. Your compass is dorked up. You're going to go with, like it says in James 1:5, like a ship being tossed to and fro, that kind of thing. We don't want to be that way. That's like the opposite of a good Berean. All right, so what were those things that Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians 2? Well, really, without going into all, and reading it verbatim, essentially all it was the Antichrist is going to be revealed. You're going to know it spiritually. Because we're not of the darkness, we're of the light, that this day should overtake us as a thief. Okay, so we're going to know. And we already do. Because what do we have, like thousands of prophecies about Obama? Come on, please. I mean, for real. And if God calls an audible on the Obama deal, I am going to be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I don't think that's going to happen. And what's like a smaller, like if I say nanosecond, then that's not small enough. Anyway, so let's look at it. You've got revealing of the Antichrist. You've got power signs and lying wonders. And you've got the strong delusion, which we know what that is. I mean, for crying out loud, it really doesn't. It doesn't take a science degree. It's the motherships arriving. I mean, it is. Come on. And I've told people not a thousand times. I don't know how many times. Hey, not yet. Chill out. Get back up there. You're jumping the gun. All right. If you look at the Hebrew in Daniel 2, hold on a second. I want to find it so that I don't dork it up. Okay. So in Daniel 9:27, when you look at the Hebrew, because I read the second half of Daniel, the scripture of Daniel 9:27 and a whole bunch of different translations, and none of them made sense. It was just absolutely. I've actually had people. Oh yeah, long suffering folks. Trust me, long suffering. Practice long suffering. But anyway, I've had people try to tell me, well, I can explain that to you, no problem. What that's really saying is, and I'm just like sitting there with this glazed over look on my face, like, oh my gosh. But anyway, the translation is just absolutely incorrect. There's no doubt about it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to each individual Hebrew word, with an expanded Strong's concordance, and I'm going to look at everything, and I'm going to put together an alternative possible meaning to what it could have been translated as. And by the way, it happens to align with the scriptural events and timelines perfectamundo. Oh, you say. Well, let me show you. So I looked at each individual Hebrew word and I said, this is amazing. And I had to, and basically what it broke down into was on the wing of a flying army of detestable and especially disgusting things shall be that which astonishes, devastates, and stupefies. All right. On the wing of a flying army of detestable and especially disgusting things shall be that which astonishes, devastates, and stupefies. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I've ever studied fallen angelic beings, yeah, they are disgusting things. Don't even get me going on the things that they do that are disgusting. Now, and you say, but Johnny, how does that line up with the rest of the timeline of the Holy Bible in the end times? I'll show you. Revelation 6, verse 12 and 13. and stars will fall from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. Well, if the metaphor of the star, see, because it can mean a lot of things, not just meteors, and I brought this up a lot of times. Think about the movie Battle LA. How did those aliens come down from the sky? They came down like meteors. They flew into the ocean. Next thing you know, alien invasion. Does somebody know something? I think they do. There's many, many other books written on this subject. We've had guests on the show that all the Lord revealed to me that these are going to be fallen angels. Okay? I'm not saying that it doesn't include real meteors and debris from Planet X and all that. I'm not ruling out anything. But I believe that is the manifestation of Daniel 9:27. The manifestation of Daniel 9:27, by the way, theology holds that up as the verse, the pinnacle verse of all verses that marks the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the middle of the week. Folks, ask yourself a question. A gigantic alien invasion occurs all across the entire earth. And then the Great Tribulation begins. I mean, come on. This is just, I don't even need Stephen King to write this screenplay. This is just too absolutely perfect. So Daniel 9:27 is supposed to prophetically mark the beginning of the middle of the week, which is when the rise of the Antichrist is supposed to occur, which is when we're jettisoned into the Great Tribulation, okay, which aligns to Revelation 6:12-13, where the stars fall from the sky like a fig tree shaken by almighty wind, which aligns to Revelation 12, where it says that the dragon and Michael fought, and there was no place found for them in heaven anymore, and they were cast down to the earth. It all fits. Oh, but it's better than that. So then you go back to 2 Thessalonians 2, and you're like, okay, Apostle Paul's there saying, okay, you meatheads, you're not working, you're busybodying about, you're causing, stirring up all kinds of trouble, you're quitting your jobs. I'm going to lay out some rules for you here, but I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you an itemized list of things, because Jesus ain't coming back until all these things got to happen. Period. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here they are. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. You're going to see power signs and lying wonders. And there's going to be a strong delusion so that they, the unrighteous, will believe the lie. And we'll just keep it that simple, without trying to, there's a, until he that restrains is taken and all that. But I'm just trying to stick with the main three big Mac Daddy bullet points. All right. Now think about it. Now make a note on 2 Thessalonians 2:11b, which, by the way, is the last item in that list. And Paul made it clear that whole chapter, all those things had to happen. Well, first off, we're not going to see power signs and lying wonders until they get here. I strongly doubt that Obama, even with Satan incarnate into him, is going to be standing up there doing like, dun 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 dun, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think these entities are going to come down, and there are going to be all kinds of them. They're going to be healing cancer. They're going to be doing on people will be taking the mark like crazy. They're going to be like, oh, I can live forever. I'll be able to see again. See, power signs and lying wonders. It's not that there isn't power. It's not that they don't do signs. It's not that these things aren't real. It's because, as Arthur C. Clarke properly stated, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Period. And the lying part is a reference to the ultimate lie, which is that they are our creators, which they're not. We know that. Because all you'd have to do is ask one of them, oh, well, if you're our creator, then who created you, you meathead? Right? I don't, how well that would go over with the Anunnaki and whether or not you'd live through it. But on the other hand, at least you'd get a dig in before God sends them into the lake of fire. But anyway, so now you have a list. Now we will take this to the next level. Now let's take all this data that we have, that we've discussed, how the Bible aligns. Daniel 9:27, pointing over to Revelation 6:12-13, the fallen angels come, and all this stuff that we already know is going to happen. And now let's take another look once again at the first watch, second watch, third watch deal. The concept of a barley harvest, a wheat harvest. The wheat harvest would have to be the one that happens after the 3 days of darkness. And you're like, why, you say? Well, I'll tell you why. Because, see, now you have to understand my methodology. My methodology is not to do what everybody else does and say, oh, that person's wrong. Because every time I thought somebody was wrong, it was me that was wrong. Or partial. You know, as a partial, I might got partial credit, but whatever. The point is this: when you take the 1 Corinthians 8:2 approach, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. And then you take a second or third or fourth look and you realize that almost always D, all of the above, is the correct answer. Then you definitely do not want to take, you know, people's testimonies, visions, and dreams from holy people, people that you know love the Lord with all their heart and sought them for years for information, that have been taken to heaven and spoke to the Lord in person, like Pastor Sori Park and all these things. You know, you don't want to take these people and just say, well, they're up the devil. No. Why would you do that? That's just, it's absolutely devoid of any critical thinking skills at all. What you do is you reconcile it. You ask yourself the hard question, how do I make it all fit? And then map it back to the Bible and say, hey, it's right there. Okay, so once again, Pastor Sori Park, taking heaven in a vision. He called it a vision. I think it was taken, just like, you know, Elvis Upon and some of the other folks. But anyway, I don't, you know, but and he was told, amongst a ton of other really cool things, that when the rapture occurs, and, you know, again, I'm not saying there's only one. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying this is what he was told. When the rapture occurs, or, you know, that it will be blamed on the aliens. And NASA will come on television and tell everybody that it was the aliens that took them. Now, I know I covered this before, but it can't be understated. It really needs to be driven home. This is significant. And Sori Park, super godly, holy man. So what do we know? Well, we know that the power grid is still up. The televisions are still working. NASA is still in operation. There has not been a meteor strike that has wiped out the entire East Coast of the United States. None of all that stuff couldn't have happened. Revelation 6 has not occurred yet. It hasn't. Because there's no way NASA could come on TV and say that. So then you go back over to David Doetry, who we had on the show, who in 1996 – John Ting on Five Doves published his vision that the Lord gave him. He spent like a decade seeking God on his knees. All he cared about was whether or not he was going to be alive for the rapture. By the way, he's up there in years. So we might be really, really close to the barley harvest, to the first watch. And Doetry sees himself standing in the backyard of his house in Florida at night. Now, he also warns that there was that, and I told you, that big round Death Star-looking spaceship up in the sky, and all the TVs around the world were all pointing at it, and everyone was freaking out, and he said, but you don't freak out. You need to go get enough food and water for your family for 3 weeks of time. Okay? You putting this together? Guess who else saw that same Death Star? Augusto Perez. We had him on the show and he talked all about it. He said there were several different species of alien being spacecraft flying around the thing. And he physically saw it. So now you got another confirmation. And we got those two creepy brass-colored Death Star sculptures, one at the United Nations and one at the Vatican Library, which they locked down in 2009 because we were getting wise to them. So when you put all this stuff together, you map it back to the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 2, and I, God, send a strong delusion so that they believe the lie. And you remember that the Apostle Paul was standing there in front of them saying, Jesus isn't coming for you guys until these things happen. All of that, once again, strongly indicates, doesn't prove anything, but it strongly indicates that there is possibly, if not highly likely, going to be a barley harvest, a first watch, Luke 12:37-38, sometime prior to the sixth seal, after some kind of giant spacecraft, round Death Star thing is in the sky. That's the only way all these stories reconcile. And what's really amazing is it fits Daniel 9:27, the alternate translation that I, you know, go do it yourself. Get yourself out of, you know, Hebrew text. Go and look it up. See if you can't put together on the wing of a flying army of detestable and especially disgusting things shall be that which astonishes, devastates, and stupefies. By the way, which happens to line up with 2 Esdras 15, verse 28, where the dragons of Arabia come flying as the wind on many chariots, and all they that see them will fear and tremble. 2 Esdras was in the original King James 1611 Bible. All this stuff lines up. I have a sneaking suspicion that that event isn't very far away, and that that may be the first fruits rescue mission, the false flag, Project Bluebeam, which I, like I said, I think is a psyop. And remember, the only ones that hear the trumpet are the ones that are leaving. So everybody else that's left is going to believe that it was the aliens. Get it? How scary is that for them? I certainly don't want to be here. I don't know about you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And on that note, boy, I can't believe I talked that all that time away, but I hope that that was beneficial to you, because I think we all need some encouragement. You know, we're watching all these things that are happening across the world. You know, a lot of us are getting beaten up pretty good in our lives. I think if you're anything like me and you look back on the things that happened to you in the last couple of years, you're probably wondering how you're still standing. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God is definitely training me. I can tell you that. The Lord is definitely training me to praise Him in worst case scenarios. But anyway, that which must be very, very important, because again, Psalm 78:41, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to limit God, not in the days to come. We surely don't. And the way you're going to limit him is by complaining. Growly, 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 growly. Can't complain. Praise, praise, praise. Praise, praise, praise. Trust, praise, trust, praise, love. Praise, trust, love, praise, love. Faith. Praise. Or bad things will happen. Because if you limit God during those times, that would not be good. That would not be good. Praise Jesus. But the reason why the Lord keeps putting it on my heart, and these conversations can keep on happening behind the scenes, is because there's still a lot of people out there that are falling apart. There's still a lot of people out there that are really just bummed. I'm not saying they're, you know, apostatizing and, you know, or whatever, you know, becoming new agers or anything like that. It's not like that. It's just, they're not doing emotionally well. Let's put it that way. And we need to encourage one another. The Bible admonishes us to encourage one another. And I, for one, I don't know about you, but I can take all the encouragement I can get. And when I look at all this data and I see how the Lord, you know, I'm telling you folks, I didn't plan on talking about this when I started the show tonight. It's not like I have a whole big thing of notes in front of me. The Daniel 9:27 reading, the 2 Thessalonians 2, the tie into the Doetry visions. Yes, I had some, you know, chatter with somebody over a text messenger earlier today in regard to some of these things, but I had no plan whatsoever. None of this was organized thought. And sometimes while I'm sharing these different things with the folks over, you know, over, you know, speaking into the mic for the radio show, I'm kind of surprised. I'm like going, wow, Lord, that really blended together really well. And it does. It really does. Now, is it error-free? I doubt it. Is it pretty close? Does it meet the 80-20 rule? Maybe a little more? Possibly so. But I may be the only one out there that's willing to take all the alien stuff and smash it back into the Bible. And, you know, you take the alien information, the fallen angel stuff, take a second look at the Hebrew text. I remember when we had Stephen Ben Noon on the show, he was talking about aliens in the Bible. I was like, right on, go Stephen Ben Noon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need more people to step out and have, you know, some chutzpah. Because what we got is impotence on a grand scale, and this is not good. It's not good. It needs to be – people need to wake up, and we're – you know, we could be really, really running out of time. The way things are going on in the Middle East now – look, granted, listen, I know the Syrian war has been going on since 2011. I get it. I know this could drag on. I know we could go through a whole nother tedious – give me a giant shrimp fork and let me rip my spleen out and throw it in the garbage disposal. Second Trump, presidency. I don't think there's enough kaopectate to keep me out of the bathroom on earth if that happens, but oh well, you know, got to do what you got to do. But in the meantime, just remember, peace and safety, then sudden destruction.
But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they, the unrighteous, shall not escape. Volcanoes do not say peace and safety. Meteors and fireballs do not say peace and safety. Two suns in the sky do not say peace and safety. Crevasses sucking buildings and homes down into the pit do not say peace and safety. Sinkholes all over the world of various sizes do not say peace and safety. Animal kills by the tens of thousands, in some cases millions, do not say peace and safety. Dead, persecuted Christians do not say peace and safety. Hurricanes and hurricanes, melting ice and disappearing glaciers, wars in Syria, bombings from Israel into Syria, the Ukraine and Donetsk and the wars in Nigeria, deaths in Yemen and wars and rumors of wars across the world do not say peace and safety. Outbreaks of Ebola, Zika, bubonic plague in Marlborough across the world do not say peace and safety. Politicians say peace and safety. Mind control news says peace and safety, and those who are not wise as serpents follow. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6.
Kids? All right, kids. Jesus, kids are the best kids. They're willing to lay their lives down if they have to. Right, kids? For Jesus. That's right. For Jesus in a second. Hallelujah. Praise God for good Bible teaching. All right. Okay, kids, are you ready? Here we go. Why did the cow cross the road? Why did the cow, not the chicken, why did the cow cross the road? To get to the udder side. You know, udders, you know, like udders. Kids? You don't like udder jokes? That reminds me of, have another nutter butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. Have another, whatever. Okay. What do you call a flower that runs on electricity, kids? What do you call a flower that runs on electricity? a power plant. Kids? Ah, hey. All right. Well, whew, I thought I was going to get flushed. All right, kids. What did one toilet say to another toilet? You look flushed. Come on, kids. I got to get to. All right. Okay. All right. One more. Kids, why should you take a pencil to bed? Why should you take a pencil to bed? To draw the curtains. Come on, kids. What do you think? That's not too bad. You didn't like that one? Oh, come on. All right. Well, I'm going to do one more because I don't want to leave on a bummed out note here. Okay, let's try this one. Here we go. Okay, here we go. What do you call a group of men waiting for a haircut? What do you call a group of men waiting for a haircut? A barber queue. Come on, kids. I got to get a brown. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. All right, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and jump right on into the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
What? It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I feel bad that I'm opening with this particular news report. It and I know people have different opinions about the guy, but I have my opinion, and my opinion is he's legit. Okay, now I know other people don't think so, and that's fine. They can have their opinion, but I've got a lot of really good reasons why I think he's legit. But they're saying, amidst all the other attacks that are happening to Alex Jones, that there was child porn found in documents that were sent to lawyers of the Sandy Hook families in the court filings. Now, ask yourself a question. Really? 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 Come on. This is a setup of absolutely apocalyptic proportions. And I even had somebody write me today and say, well, this settles it. I know for sure that Alex Jones is legit because when I saw this report, that sealed it for me. Because you know what? It's too ludicrous and ridiculous to believe it for any reason whatsoever. Okay. And so then when you hear about it and it goes on, he's got a great lawyer and they're not going to make it stick. And we all know what these evil entities do when they plant evidence. And just, again, watch the movie Snowden. The routers and the SCADA systems and the power, the power grids all over the world, the critical infrastructures in different countries, they're all owned, man. They're all owned. All you got to do is press a button and there's entire countries going down, electronically speaking. Anyway, this made me very sad to see. And so, one thing to do all the evil that they've done to the guy thus far, but to do this, I mean, really? We're dealing with some, and folks, by the way, take this as a warning. When Sister Glenda Lomax warned through the word of the Lord that we shouldn't be all, and I'll read it again. Many of my children grow impatient for the end of all things, that they may return home to me. Be careful what you ask for, my children, as the end brings with it a time like none other before it, a time devoid of peace, devoid of comfort, devoid of any joy other than the joy of your salvation. As the end grows nearer and nearer, men will pray for death. They will pray for death because of so much evil on the earth, so much lack, so much suffering and death. Do not pray for this suffering to be hastened, my children, for this will bring regret. When you see this kind of stuff happening, this is the tip of the iceberg. Stuff that's going to be happening when it gets ugly, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I just pray in Jesus' name that the Lord Isaiah 57 to me before I have to go through too much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Next up. Trump says Iran did do it as the United States seeks support regarding the Gulf oil tanker attacks. And that's I repeated that on purpose from the last show because there's a whole bunch more to add to it. And I'm going to do that right now. Next up, United States Navy claims to have found mine fragments, magnet pointing to Iran in the oil tanker attacks. Okay. See the Gulf of Tonkin thing lining up here? Right. All right, next one up. Trump 2020 campaign raises a record $28.4 million in the first 24 hours. Yay. No eyes to see, no ears to hear. Another headline, Trump, I think I know who is behind 9/11, he says in this particular report. Yeah, well, if you do, you definitely don't have the chutzpah to come out and tell anybody because you're not. And you backed off on the birther thing, and we all doggone darn sure know that you know what happened with Obama and the birth certificate. That's all right. It's an inside job. Right, kids? All right, next up. United Kingdom asking Pakistan to take back thousands of migrants who have overstayed their welcome. I wonder if they realize that they were only allowed to be there for a little while. Right? Oh, boy, we live in a listen to this headline. Atomic threat. Iran reveals it will break America's uranium stockpile limits within 10 days, dramatically ramping up tensions with Donald Trump. So, again, that's going to get ugly. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Huh? If they're looking for a reason to go in there, then it's all happening right now. This is out of Haaretz. Rockets hit Iraqi base hosting U.S. forces near Baghdad. Hey, anybody got a guess who they're going to blame it on? They already did. Yep. Ah, amazing. It's truly amazing. Another headline. U.S. planning tactical assault on Iran in response to the tanker attack, according to a report. No, you say. Yes, I say.
You're good. Thanks, Captain Obvious. I was on a totally different track.
Next headline. China warns of unpredictable consequences amidst the United States troop deployment to the Middle East, according to their foreign minister. Another headline, pastor jailed during drag queen story hour. SWAT team snipers were positioned on top of the library roof. Now, I normally put these in the as in the days of Noah section of the news, but this one here, I'm like, this is, whew, man. Spokane, Washington, folks. Baptist pastor. You know, because you definitely don't want to upset the LGBT LMNOP people and they're talking to your little bitty kids about what it's like to have a sex change operation, do you? Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, seas, roaring pestilence and famine. How rare is giant hail in Europe? And according to this report, a 2019 storm season brought unusually strong thunderstorms, out-of-season windstorms, and very large, violent, and destructive hailstorms to much of Europe. Very rare giant hail was reported on several occasions, inflicting heavy damage. And it's all true. Another headline, CNN reports at least 36 people are dead in one of the longest heat waves in the history of the country of India. We talked about that, 145 degrees. Now, this particular report is saying at 118 degrees Fahrenheit. It's all just insanely hot. Another headline, wildfires are burning longer and they are harder to control, according to officials of the United States Forestry Service. Yep. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. strong eruption at Popocatépetl volcano ashed all the way up to 32,000 feet in the air. Well, we can't have like one show go by that Popocatépetl isn't blowing its stack. It's getting really interesting out there, folks. Another headline, extreme lightning storms follow heat wave. Another 170 sheep and goats killed by lightning in, yes, you guessed it, India. Another headline, the United States just witnessed its 12 wettest months in, get this, 125 years, and the floods keep coming. So that 125 is, you know, first off, if that's not a lie in the first place, I'd be surprised. And if it is the truth, that number is going to change real fast. Listen to this headline. In the midst of all of this, quote, rare snowstorm in June covers Kashmir. Now, do you know where Kashmir is? It's like in India. The hottest temperatures in the entire world are like in India right now. And now they're talking about a rare snowstorm in the Kashmir region of northern India. In June. Nah. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Another headline, WorldNet Daily, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, record highest temperature on Earth. Now, what this one is saying 145.4. So it's not just India. 52.2 Celsius. This is like unbelievable. Another headline, day zero has arrived for 100 million Indian people as reservoirs dry up and people queue in long lines and temperatures more than 122 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, a lot more. Another headline, drought in Namibia is so bad, national parks are auctioning off their wild animals because otherwise they're going to die. Another headline, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Astonishing temperatures hit Kuwait with highs of 52.2 degrees. There you go. That's at 145 degrees Fahrenheit. It's just one right after the other. Listen to this headline. In the middle of all this, snow falls on a major British Columbia highway in the middle of June. Another headline. Over 40,000 people displaced by floods in Mindanao, the Philippines. Yep, no, it's not just here. It's all over the world. And that big, giant, you know, monsoon's about to slam into India on top of everything else. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Torrential rain of biblical proportions is causing immense devastation for the Midwestern farmers in the United States. The reason why they're reporting it like this is because it ain't stopping. It's not stopping. Another headline. River turns toxic orange in Russia. You should see this one, by the way. This is creepy. Very weird. It ain't blood red, but it is some sickening, pukey looking. Ugh. Another headline. Death toll from China quakes rises to 12. Did you know a couple of days ago it was a China quake? Yep. Another headline. Can we grasp what is happening? More than 2 billion tons of ice melted in Greenland in just one day as temperatures climb way above normal. Wow. Another Popocatépetl report. Listen to this. Another earthquake shakes Ohio near Lake Erie. Not one, but two. One was a 4.0 and the other one was, right around that same magnitude, not too far away. These are places that there are, like, you know, never earthquakes, ever. Praise God. And then, as in the days of Noah. Ecuador's highest court legalizes same-sex marriage. How many more countries are going to jump on that bandwagon? We got them. Taiwan, Ecuador. I mean, it's just it's all over the place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Tel Aviv celebrates gay pride parade with a 250,000-strong rainbow. Quarter-million-person-strong rainbow parade. Tel Aviv. Scientists create deep fake software allowing anyone to edit anything that anyone says on video. And many of us have already seen that live in action out on YouTube, and it's very effective. It's really very good. I think if my hunch is correct, when the Bible says we're the image of the beast, well, I think we got a bingo. Another headline, Desmond is amazing's amazing mother's. Listen to this. Desmond is amazing's mother defends decision to allow the 12-year-old drag queen kid to perform at a gay bar for tips. That's what's known as a pregnant pause in radio. Another headline, Vermont taxpayers to fund kids' sex reassignment surgery. Did you know that they're doing that over in the United Kingdom? Yep. The NHS. They've got people that are barely getting by, need operations that are real, but yet they're funding sex change operations with taxpayer dollars in the United Kingdom. Well, no surprise there. Reptilian queen at the House of Windsor lives there. Somehow that just doesn't throw me for a loop. Shock photos and video. Kids give cash to drag queen performers at a public library. It's never ending, all this stuff. U.S. Department of State praises Botswana for decriminalizing homosexual behavior. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Listen to this. Daily Mail. Feces smeared on walls and staff forced to watch child porn while working in a state of near constant anxiety. Facebook content moderators break strict NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, to reveal shocking working conditions at a Florida office. Another one. Daily Mail. Prison gang brandish their weapons before starting.